Hello and welcome to episode 29 of Keithan's Craft Collective. The blather is about Mr. Bump and all things bumpy. We have the craft fairy and a Scotch segment. I have the news, the hellos, and I'll let you know what the collective have been up to. I'm sponsored by my own business, www.energyhunt.com, and I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place that you download this from, so relax and get the links later. Now get your cup of tea and your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Keithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Bump. Hello, any new listeners? Just a quick update on this blather thing. I have a theme every episode, and I had decided to have a series of linked themes and pick something I knew about, and that's the Mr. Men books. This week, it's Mr. Bump. Here's my resident Mr. Men expert to tell you about Mr. Bump. Sandy, tell everybody about Mr. Bump.
Well, Mummy, he bumps and he's clumsy.
What colour is he?
Blue and white, and he's got bandages all around him.
Thank you, my resident Mr. Men expert. The definition of bump from the dictionary is a noun, a collision or impact. Of course, poor, poor Mr. Bump did as his name suggests. He bumps into things and, well, they just can't help it. He constantly wears bandages and he always ends up in a bit of a pickle. He does eventually find his ideal job, which is bumping into apple trees in an orchard and catching them. I see him as the someone who's constantly having accidents through no fault of their own. And everyone knows someone like this, someone who's always in a stoogie. That's plaster cast to you posh people. The casualty department know them by their first name. I would say I was pretty clumsy, but I do take care to keep out of casualty. Actually, scrap that, I've been there once. Falling off a ladder and bumping my head. Well, kind of landed on it and it explains quite a lot, doesn't it? It actually hurt a lot more than I thought it would. And this was back in the days of decorating. I don't like DIY now. I was stripping wallpaper up a ladder, not realising how high I was, and bumped my head on the ceiling. Put my leg out to balance, which it didn't, and it took the ladder from under my feet. I went down, landed on said head. Next bump I remember, when I was bouncing around in a lively pub and I managed to bump into my friend's beer bottle. I took a massive chip out of my front tooth, and I'm not proud of this one. I was pretty tipsy, and my style of dancing was bouncing up and down like I was at a music concert with my pal, and other pal's beer bottle, which he was holding, like you do, got in the way of my teeth as I was on the down part of the bounce. Not big, not clever. Don't do that at home, children. And the next bounce I did was falling off my bike 3 miles up Glenafric, and I pretty much broke my ankle. But I never got x-rayed, so I may have, or I may not have. I did cycle out 3 miles, which didn't help when I wasn't getting mountain rescued, no thank you. It did hurt, I have to say. I've bumped my car too many times than hubby would like me to. Once seriously in snow, I ended up upside down in a ditch facing the way I came from after hitting black ice. Toyota Yaris crashed wonderfully. The hamster and I were totally unscathed, but my two-month-old Yaris was totally written off. I've only just now regained my snow driving courage, and I think it was because I did so much of it last winter, not having a choice. Well, when I say last winter, I meant last December, because it snowed the whole month. And my most clumsy moment recently was a few weeks ago, some of you have seen this on Twitter, but I was hoovering the stairs and top landing, and top step I was trying to take the bottom bit off the hoover to get the hose sort of soak up the very last bit of dirt, and I pulled too hard. Got caught in the cable in the hoover, I grabbed the banister, was holding the hose part of the hoover, which unsnapped itself from the hoover part, which bumped its way all the way down the stairs and bumped into the wall, leaving a 10-inch hole in the plasterboard. I did get a fright, and then was pretty angry at myself for being so clumsy and causing damage. Hubby, lovely hubby, just looked and went, accidents happen. As long as you didn't end up down the stairs, and he has fixed it, I just need to put quite a few coats of paint on over it now. DIY, don't like DIY. But then he can't talk, because he fell off a mountain. The song this week is Bump by the Fun Loving Criminals. I love you, Huey. Mr. Bump has not one, but two dance styles. We have bump and grind. I'm more of a bump than a grind, and unless I'm using the grinder for metalwork, and even then I'm a health and safety nightmare. And we have the bump dance from the 1970s, but you have to go to YouTube, get your disco on, get your bump in your booty. So you can imagine Mr. Bump getting his thing on here and fitting right in. It seems to be a Mr. Man that, well, keeps having wee accidents, but then he dusts himself off and he keeps going. I think Mr. Bump should really be renamed Mr. Tenacity, because he doesn't give up. And good for him. My hubby didn't give up when he had to do physio, and he is my Mr. Tenacity. I wonder what colour and shape a Mr. Tenacity would be.
There's more to Mr. Bump than meets the eye. Mr. Bump has tenacity. People only see the bandages. They don't see what's lying underneath the bandages.
Where's the craft tedious link? I hear you shout at me. Well, he's blue, light blue. Oh, pardon, you see, you've done that one. Oh, right, well, he has bandages on him. Bandage material is good for dyeing colours onto. Obviously, it's very absorbent and is used well for soaking in the blood. Sorry if you're reading. But crepe bandages are good for dyeing. Obviously new ones, not ones that you're in the middle of using. Just like to point that out. A gauze also can be used to embroider over. Never thought about knitting a long bandage. That might be interested if anyone fancy doing it and letting us know. Dye some new bandages, knit them into a bag with big needles. I've still got some of my gauze from dyeing days last year. You can put them over pictures to calm down the severity of the colours. You can stitch into them and they have great texture. Plus, crafters don't give up. We have wee accidents all the time when we are stitching, sticking, painting, dyeing. Now, how many of you have dropped a stitch when you really didn't want to? Is that an accident? Or when dyeing in more than one colour, just dropped a single drop of pink dye on that green material. Or when putting on the embossing powder, just tap it that wee bitch too hard and it goes everywhere. Or you're making a card and that ink pad just happens to drop right on the only piece of card that you've got of that colour. Yeah, I've been there. Right, things that go bump in the night. I was catching up on Rod Gilbert's podcast. He's a Welsh comedian who does a Radio Wales programme on a Saturday. And his 5th of March show was called Saturday Fright Fever. And it was fantastic, made me laugh out loud. They talk about things that go bump in the night and lots of funny ghosty stories. They mentioned a ghost jogger somewhere in Aber, somewhere or other, somewhere in Wales. And it's very funny how they debate how a ghost is still trying to keep fit. If they're a ghost, they don't need to keep fit because they're dead already. But this ghost was supposedly jogging. This is much funnier than I see it. But I'm not into ghosts or creepy things or scary things, so I'll let you listen to this and do your own bumps in the night. My bumps in the night involve a small child falling out of bed. Well, I think the conclusion to the bump leather is to think like Mr. Bump. Yeah, he makes mistakes and he's covered in bandages, but bless his little heart, he keeps on going back for more and more and more. And you gotta give it to him. Plus, I reckon he's collecting bandages to dye to use in his textile art. And he's the one on the Mr. Men cartoon that gets the line of, "It's the Mr. Men show!" And I think on that Mr. Men, I'm going to put a stop to the theme for a while. We've done 6 of the wee souls. And the next one in line is Mr. Snow. And me, he's obviously as interesting as the rest of them, but, well, I'm kind of boring myself with them a bit just now and I want a break from them. And 2, I don't want to encourage the snow back because it's April now. The lambs are out and they're all needing help they can get. So I'll return to Mr. Men later in the year, but I'm going to change the subjects for now. Okay, moving on. Warning, if you need a pee stop, then come back. It's time for the Daisy Laugh. So, the craft fairy segment.
Craft fairy.
The lovely Caroline gifted me 2 skeins of... It's a BFL / Angora in a purple and a pink for not any good reason other than she is lovely. So thank you, Caroline. Also, I was gifted another couple of bags of leather offcuts from Helen. Hooray to the craft fairy. You wouldn't mind delivering me some of that roving that I ordered about a month ago now, would you? And the craft fairy for you section. Sandy and I have made a raffle of your names for the yarn giveaway. I wrote all the names out on bits of paper, put them in a new plastic bowl for my new digital scales for measuring wool and yarn and not baking. It's far too good for that. And adjudicated by Daisy, Sandy picked out, drum roll please, Paris Phone, Liz from Leicester. That's you. Congratulations to her, and she's a shawl knitter already, so I'm sure she'll get the full use out of this gorgeous yarn. I'll send her a message asking her for her address, and the bonny purple luxury yarn will be on the way to you. Enjoy it, and let us see the photographs of what you made. Please carry on putting your photographs of your projects onto the Ravelry group section, as I do have a look at them. And I wish Ravelry had a button like Facebook has for like, as sometimes I think that's a rubbish comment, but I always want to comment on them. And sending the warmest of gateway wishes to my friend Carla in Nelson, New Zealand, who got thrown off a horse and has a broken arm and lots of sore bits. I have sent Daisy to tail the horse off and I hope you get better soon. Can I have Daisy back though? Hello section. I'm taking out that we've been joined by the United Nations of Crafting bit, as I think we've pretty much got the globe covered now, and I don't want to repeat myself. But it is nice to put names to countries. So, Russia, Ukraine and China, who are ye? And what do you craft? Also, I was very pleased to see Japanese listeners' IP address pop up in the statistics. The world hasn't forgotten you, and I like to look see that you're there. You could also make yourself hello to Torin of Torin Isla fame, Elftage, sorry if I've said that wrong, Nitty Chris, Mindy Moo of White Capped Wolves on the Isle of Wight fame, Crochet R, Acliff, Lily, Strickland 66, Neil's Nana, an Orcadian listener, Phoebe, and OKCFK, who thought that they were just sneaking, but I found you tonight, whom have all joined the group in Ravelry. I love the chat and the project pages. I'm always dancing with the little messages, so keep them coming. It's always good to have conversations on the Ravelry group, so please carry on there. There's been a cracking one on about a debate about DPNs versus Magic Loop versus Travelling in Loop. Who knew? And also, I found out that Rachel can't do Magic Loop. I thought Rachel was fantastic, but there you go. I can do Magic Loop. Well, actually, the way I'm thinking is, I can do Magic Loop. So, ye lot can, right? There's no excuse. Anyway, but then also, you can do it, but do you want to do it? I actually think it's got a place sometimes, and sometimes you don't need to use it. It's just the project that demands what you want to use. And hello to the new Twitters. Tweet me, I'll say hello and tweet back. Actually, do that, because I'm going to have a cull of followers. I did ask about spammers and robot thingies the other day, but some of them I'm not too sure, and whilst I don't mind shops that speak, hello sequin sheep and white cat wheels, I don't really follow just linked tweeters, like as in, see this new pattern, because there seems to be quite a few of them. I like people that say, hello, we've got something new in the shop today, or the shop's been busy today, so sorry if that's you, but the reason I joined Twitter was to interact with people, specifically listeners. So tweet me if you're real, or if you think you're real. I mean, it's all virtual reality anyway. Who are you again? What's a crack section?
What's the e-crack section?
Mum said I talked too fast last episode, and I'm trying to slow it down a bit this time. Sorry, I'm trying. I think she missed me telling Granny G to wash her ears out. Well, I was giving her cheeks, so I said it quite fast. Hopefully getting away from the scud around the head, but I'm making it up for you this week. So it brings me on to Granny G of Crafternoon Tea, new e-zine called Entangled. This is a new magazine on the internet for those not knowing what an e-zine is. The preview edition is online just now and it is gloriously coloured. You may think that I'm a bit biased, as you know I love Granny of the G to the Crafternoon Tea, but if you click on the front page you will love the colours and the subject chosen too. In it she has an interview with Connie Johnson about her graffiti knitting, which is very funny and the pictures are quite funny. I think they were giggling when they took those photos. Also, there is an article about the Perrindale sheep, which she describes as, if Merino are the rock stars of the sheep world, then the Perrindale are the unsung heroes. I'd love to have done that in a New Zealand accent, but I can't, so I won't. Rachel Rayner's article is about her trying out a new crafted every edition, and this time she talks firstly about her craft journey to where the point she is at now. It's a very honest article and quite thought-provoking. And I would like to say congratulations to Granny G, Rachel and Connie for this wonderful e-zine. I've watched them on Twitter plot, plan and implement this dream, and now it is a wonderful reality. You too, as in you lot, can see this Entangled e-zine at www.nz.zinio, which is zinio.com, and then if you type in Entangled it will take you to it. You do have to register to look at the e-zine, but it's not hard to do. I've managed it. I'm thinking that the first one is a free preview, which will entice you to subscribe to future magazines, of course. Now, do you have any downsides to this e-zine? Because I like the photography, I like the subjects, the articles were long and interesting, the adverts were not just for New Zealand. There are quite a few UK adverts in there, and some from US too. I even read the small print at the front. Well, because I have to be balanced, there is one thing, but it is not the content of the e-zine, but my working of the laptop. I'm not quite so keen on the way it navigates around the e-zine. I made it increase in size so I could read it to see the photographs better. Every time I changed page, it went, in a dock from Carsway when Lightning McQueen says, he's a racing car. You want to turn the page, do you? Well, if I'm going to decrease the page, turn the page and increase the page. Well, I got a bit dizzy from it. and I felt like I was Lightning McQueen going over the edge and then getting a cactus up my behoogie. Well, I'm sure there's an easier way, and I'm a Dunderhead. That's not you, Dunderhead, wearing this beige superhero cape, by the way, Twitter friend, but computer illiterate me when it comes to the technical genius that is Granny G's Entangled magazine, available now at www.nz.zinio.com. I wish them all the best. Mother Bear Project. Acanthus, who hails from Duluth, Minnesota, is now in London, and she's requested for some mother bears to go back with her. For those of you who don't know what Mother Bear is, please go to www.motherbearproject.org for a full rundown. There is still time, if you're fast, to send one to Acanthus, who is in London now, from the 9th to the 17th, and I suggest that you would get there before the 15th. And if you contact me or her, we will brandish you with a postal address and send it to. And obviously send it straight to her. And lots of thanks to those already sent. Angela Campbell from the Isle of Man has made a Jean-Paul Gaultier looking bear. And the bear that gets him will be right down with the kids. I was sewing up my bear after thinking, the 9th is this week. And I was knitting away quite the thing on Saturday night, listening to books that you should read by simplysyndicate.com, talking about Stephen King books, whom I don't actually read, but it was a very interesting episode. And I didn't realise that Stephen King had written so many books that have been made into films, like The Green Mile. There was a Billy Collie moment here. I've gotten off track. So I was engrossed listening, counting away, finishing the bear, or so I thought. Ta-da! I thought. Then read the pattern. Looked at my poor, armless bear. Yeah, do the arms, Louise. He's pretty armless, it has to be said. Boom, boom. And how can he hug anyone? But he's now done, and he'll be posted this week, along with Carline's crocheted bear. And Daisy ran away with it, so he's officially a good bear. Rachel managed to take her bear home, but she said she was going to sort his scarf out. And I'd like to thank everyone for their knitting efforts here. I've used up some stash wool, which I had no idea what I was going to do with, so I've made a tiny wee space, and hopefully a bearney very happy, because bears that have nothing deserve a bear. Yarns from the Plane has started up again, so hurry for Nick, I was pleased to hear she's back on. As has Knit a Journey, and how happy was I to hear Susan's dulcet tones. She was telling us how she has coped with the medical condition she has, and she said that I don't normally talk about myself quite so much, but to steal Louise's phrase from Keith and Scraff Collective, it's the me show. I was sitting with a cup of tea, I spat it all over the table. And I'm thankful that I didn't spill it all over the laptop, but just the table. So I said on the forum, I'd happily spill my whole cup of tea to hear her back in the hot seat on the mend. I was really happy for her. Plus, I like to do my hoovering to listen to Susan because she calms me down. And I hate hoovering. But that's just a purely selfish thing, and I've not actually mentioned it until now because I'm glad that she's back. And I will be going on a course next week. Oh dude, surf is up. The O'Neill Classic Surf Competition has come north from the 9th to the 17th of April, and it is a proper, bona fide, professional surfers come from all over the world to this part, and is part of the circuit. Rick from the Nitwits, you may have the wedge, but we've got Thurso Beach in April. Yeah, cold. Apparently it's very good. We are having the Wave North Festival over the week, and there are some excellent activities going on, such as trying out surfing lessons, designing a surfboard, tapas night, loads of live music, a party in the precinct, learn to cook the captain's galley, which is a la carte and delicious, and obviously watching the surfing competition itself. The course I'm going on is a podcast workshop based on the surfing competition and been run by professionals who have produced some podcasts for The Times, The Guardian, Amnesty International, The Sand Comedy Club, and made radio shows for BBC Scotland and BBC Radio 5 Live. It says the aim of the course is to provide professional material to publicise and promote the activities of Wave North, skill up the people of the Highlands and Islands with the transferable technical and editorial skills required to create podcasts for broadcast, and produce professionally quality material to demonstrate the level of skills acquired. I'm going to sound really professional next time. So today I'm not professional. Next week hopefully I will be. And the course was open to 6 individuals, and we're going to create a package so that you'll be able to hear it. I had to send in my CV and a covering letter, which melted my brain having to do that. Luckily, my CV was pretty much up to date due to being required for business. After adding a couple of paragraphs at the top, And this is why you certainly have to pick me email, citing I do podcast. I love podcast. I would love to improve on my podcast. Pick me, pick me, pick me. They pick me. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It really is. I couldn't even find a WordPress course north of Glasgow, never mind a whole 4 days worth of workshop on audio and visual workshop by a proper professional, actually knowing it inside out people. Obviously, I'm bigging up all the Wave North gag and all the surfy dudes. And actually, the county gets a really good buzz when we get these visitors. But I'm so excited about getting to learn this from them. And happy pod anniversary to me. Me, me, me show. I've been going a whole year now, and if you've listened to all the episodes, Sarah and Mum, you've heard me blethering for over 16 hours. That's a lot of me talking, you poor people. So from my humble beginnings of my bedroom, without any music and lots of ums and ahs and I'm now in the kitchen, with music, and edited out ums and ahs and oohs. I had over 40,000 listeners this year, and I would like to thank each and every one of you. And I think I've tried to mention every single person who friends or contacts me. If you want mentioned, please message me. I'm happy to shout out. We have had Knitting Policeman Robson Green. We've got the Craft Fairy. Learned a bit about Scottish history. Lots about the Me, Me, Me show. We've laughed. We've cried. Sorry. Cringed. Oh, well, maybe that was just me. Learned about textile arts. And I've learned about knitting and life. And I said in my first episode, let's see where this podcast takes me. And I think I'm more confident than I was this time last year. I've improved on my skills tremendously. I've made a quilt. I've learnt lots of new skills, made new friends, actual real people through the podcast. Rachel and Ella, that's you. And lots of virtual ones. Oh, and to make you cringe even more, the bairns are watching the end of Toy Story 3 when I wrote this bit, and the music is We Belong Together, Me and You. I was singing that, but I've taking it out. Oh, hurry. Well, thank you. And let's meet next year better. I have decided to load up episodes 1 to 3 onto iTunes. So you may think, what's she doing when you see them appear? And it's more because it bugs me that they aren't there than it's the knitting law that you must listen to them because there's no music and lots of ums. Also in news, the Castletown Heritage Centre on Saturday the 9th of April is a Gansey workshop from Liz Lovick from Orkney. Was hosting. Our roving reporter Rachel and Caroline were to be there, and I've asked for a report for the next podcast. This is what you could have been going to section had you known about it sooner, for which I have also added the Highland Quilters from Bed to Wall exhibition that is currently touring the Highlands, which is just finished in Wick and Thurso. It was really good. I'm sorry, I have no pictures, only memories of them, because I went in with Daisy and I didn't have the chance. Taking pictures with Daisy? No idea. But if you're elsewhere in the Highlands, you'll see advertised it's worthwhile going. Textile technique and book review rolled into one section. I have out the library a book by the Royal School of Needlework, and it's an essential stitch guide by Becky Hogg called Blackwork. It's published by Search Press and is spiral-bound hardback edition retailing in at $10.99 UK or $21.95 US dollars. Yowzers, what a difference. That's what it says in the script, it just sounds so fake. Yowzers, what a difference. I would say it was most definitely worth 11 quid, but get it out the library, US readers, if see if you like it. This book, it comes from a series of essential stitch guides that the Royal School of Needlework have produced through Search Press, also including stump work and crewel work, and soon to be released silk shading. It has an introduction to the Royal School of Needlework and then an introduction to the author. Then there is the history of black work itself. And for those not in the know or are thinking black work, is that not something you do with coal, singing Chim Chimney and talking like a geezer and played by Dick Van Dyke? Nope, my non-stitch friends, this is my favourite, even though I've never actually done it, embroidery stitch technique. It came to England from its Moorish roots in Spain in about 1509 with Catherine of Aragon, who, as you history buffs will know, was Henry VIII's first wife. It became popular in Henry's reign, and you may think of a portrait of Queen Elizabeth I wearing a heavily blackwork dress. It's considered a fine technique of counted embroidery worked in black silk thread on a fine linen cambric or Holland fabric. Patterns are often geometric, complex and intricate lacy patterns, and used to fill an area such as a leaf or a flower. It would have been popular in the gentry due to the expense of the black dye process. black, red and blue were difficult and expensive dyes to obtain and fix back in the day, and this would have shown the wealth of the wearer. The book takes you through the materials that you require. The threads in particular, such as silk, or nowadays like your embroidery stranded cotton. It talks about the differing weights of threads to gain the look required. And I remember my embroidery teacher telling us that she had used her husband's finest, and by finest I mean thinnest, fishing line that he used for making flies for fly fishing, and he wasn't G.R. Hartley. The book shows you how to frame your material and why it is important for keeping the material taut. And then it goes into the design and how you can do your own design. The black and white monochrome design aspect of this embroidery really appeals to me. It's clean, and whilst appearing simple, it's complex, and I like the geometric slant. Then the book has nearly 60 pages of stitches, starting with the fundamental stitches and then goes on to the pattern work. She calls it diaper pattern, which to me I thought was a nappy, but I'll not call it that. There's a sampler shown at the start of the directory, and the idea is to work your way through it, learning which pattern would work for which design. It then talks about using differing thicknesses of threads to create shading. The last section of the book is entitled Moving On, which suggests that there's nothing to see here. No, it doesn't. It suggests that you use different colours of thread for black work, and like I said before, red was a colour of wealth, and then it suggests other colours, metallic threads and added spangles. Throughout this book, there are some well-taken photographs of the work, patterns and some historical projects. There are plenty of flowers and some animals, and my favourite are the emperor penguins. That's just for you, Ella. I would say that this was a decent explanation of the technique. I've had some books out before that just show you the finished result, but don't take you step by step through the technique. And I'm not really going to take you through this as normal style technique, as, well, I feel I've gone on a bit with the book review. But if you want to try this technique, I suggest that you get this out of your library to try it and then buy it when you're hooked. You don't need much, some linen, some thread, some needles and this. I think it would be one to buy. It's a good price, nice size. Spiral binder could be a little bit annoying, but you know when you need to sit something open, this is what the spiral binder would do. It is well written, and for me it takes you through what I want to know about the technique. I have got a kit upstairs, and it is of a lighthouse in black work. So this was the idea, was to learn how to do it before I actually attempted the black work lighthouse. So this was Blackwork, Becky Hogg from Search Press. Blackwork, done, a la Gordon Ramsay. I've not said that in ages. Big up the blog section. This week I would like to mention www.aplayfulday.blogspot.com, which is actually a blog and a new podcast. Kate hails from London and is the new British podcaster on the blog. She sounds a wee bit like Billy Piper to me, and that's not a bad thing. I really enjoyed her first, well, really, second episode. She's done a trial run, and episode one is her official one. She knits, she cooks, she likes crafting in general. I think she'd be a good crack. You have a good blather with her at the pub, or your knit group, or whatever. So go to iTunes and look for A Playful Day, and then go to aplayfulday.blogspot for a wee looky. And she's actually Green Triangle Girl on Ravelry.
Scottish segment.
Malcolm III, huh? See, I'm good at helping you with quizzes now. Scottish Kings and Queens time. Have you all painted yourself blue? Shouted freedom! Well, get your claymores out, it's Braveheart time. And by the way, the film, albeit a good yarn, is horrendously inaccurate and slightly annoys me. I would love Miss Hoxton Hanmy to do her film review magic as this, as she done with Robin Hood. I was so impressed with her recent interview, I laughed out loud. Anyway, we were at David I, who built St Margaret's Chapel in the Edinburgh Castle complex for his mummy. Isn't that an awful nice Mother's Day present? Here, Mum, here's your card, your flowers, your breakfast in bed, and oh aye, I built your chapel, and it's not out of Lego, it's real. Then we got to 1263, where Alexander III made peace with the Viking raiders at Largs, and he married off his daughter, another Margaret, to the King of Norway in 1281. And this Alexander was great, as the book cites him as reigning over the goldenest of ages that independent Scotland has ever had. Oh, that was a long time ago. Sadly, his personal life was, well, a bit tragic, because his wife, and then his sons, and then his daughter died within 8 years of each other. But remember Margaret over in Norway? Well, she had a daughter, also called Margaret, who we call the Maid of Norway. And she's quite important, so remember her. Alexander was at this point desperate for a direct heir and married Yolande de Dreux, who was French, I don't know why that's got to do with anything. I think you guess that by the knee. But 5 months later, he had an accident one stormy night on his horse, you know, as you do, and poor man, he died. And then Scotland was run by guardians made up of some earls, some bishops and some barons. Sounds like a chess game. Who invited the Maid of Norway to come back to Scotland to rule. And this was quite sad because she was only seven. But she made the voyage over, coming across the North Sea to Orkney first. And then she was going to travel to the mainland from there. But she took ill and she died. And the place where she died has been named St. Margaret's Hope. And you will have heard me mention from time to time, because this is where the Pentelina ferry sails over from near me, poor wee Margaret. It's a lovely wee village too if you get the chance to visit. There's a wonderful gallery there called Hoxha Tapestries. Right, so we're all way off the subject again. Where's Mel Gibson? Remember the Guardians? Well, they had a problem now as there were 13 men now claiming the throne. And they asked King Edward I of England to adjudicate. And he'd always had a good relationship with Scotland. But now we know he used this to his advantage. The baddie. I mean, if you get played by Patrick McGowan, you're going to be bad. Edward, and they called him Longshanks, thought that John Balliol was the best choice because he was weak-minded and easily led by naughty Edward's plotting. In 1296, he was then disposed. I don't know exactly how, and does that mean that he died? And again, Scotland had no king. The English king took great advantage and invaded. Enter Mel Gibson. William Wallace, who picked a fight, led a revolution right into England and almost setting Scotland free. Until he was caught, hung, drawn and quartered. Well, which is what it says on the tin. Cut into four and left to rot in various parts of the country. Let that be a lesson to you. The film is epic, but it does poke some fun at itself too. And there was no blue faces from Woad. They didn't wear the kilt because the Highlanders wore the kilts at the time. And Wallace was in the lowlands hanging around Selkirk. And yes, I visited his haunts. Plus, in the film, Sophie Macrew's French princess character didn't actually get married to the English king until 2 years after Wallace was killed. Mel is quite small. Well, Wallace was said to be 6'7". I remember the scene at the Battle of Stirling Bridge, just before the freedom speech. One man turns the other and says, "That can't be Wallace, he's not tall enough." Anyway, that's just my pet peeve. Don't believe everything you watch or hear. Well, except me, of course. I've double-checked this, you know. Wallace was but a pawn in the history, and we'll hand you over to the next one, Robert the Bruce, in the next episode. So put your claymore away, scrub your face, as Woad is awfully difficult to get off, and we'll come back to Robert the Bruce next time. Oh, and myself. Yes, well, it is the Me Show. Textile artists. The first Monday was quite quiet, with just Helen, Shirley and I appearing, but the crack was good nonetheless. Helen was working on a quilt that she'd had in the cupboard unfinished, as you do, and she had a relation who wasn't so well, so she decided to finish the binding off and gift it to him, which is a very nice thing to do, I thought. And she also gifted me two more bags of leather offcuts, and with the condition that I use them. And I'm getting to it, honest I am. I in turn gifted one of the bags to my mum, who has been making a new cover for her Bible, which will be beautiful when it is finished. Shirley was doing a piece in Luchador, and in the last Stitch magazine, there was an article from Inky Berlin. Remember, I mentioned her back in episode 18. She had offered to come up this way in May, but then her son set his wedding date for May. So her workshop was scuppered. But congratulations to them, I hope she has a lovely day. We have watched her DVD, and some of the textile artists have been south to one of Inky's workshop. So hopefully she will travel north another time. But it got us talking about how we needed to learn more about using luchador and the Evalon materials that we have. And also, we don't have a round robin on the go, which is always good fun. So between us, we have decided to do something about this, and this was a study in luchador. And then the next week, well, being the first Monday of the month, we had a Dying Dween Monday, which was where we kicked off the luchador study. Now, luchador takes dye easily, and it's a great way to do this is using dispersed papers. This is where you paint normal paper with dispersed dyes made into a paint. You wait for it to dry and then you iron onto synthetic material or silk. Remember, cover your ironing board, people. Yeah, nearly forgot, didn't you? Well, yep, I nearly forgot. It wasn't even my ironing board. I did melt my Highlands and Islands Enterprise green bag as I was using it as an in-between piece of material. I'm not the brightest. And then I used paper. I was at the ironing it on stage already as I had a stack of papers ready painted from last year. I didn't really need any more at the time. Now I do, but I know where the dyes are. so everyone else launched into painting their papers and it was nice and bright, and I finished off ironing my pieces of Luchador and Avalon. Sometimes this dye dries on the paper a different colour to the colour it actually comes out as when it's ironed. I did remember this, but I thought it was the chocolate and the crimson one, but no, it was blue on paper. Guess what colour it came out of? Magenta pink. I thought maybe I had coloured over the blue paint with a pink to make a purple, but the blue never came out, just a bright pink. Hey, I was in Louise La La Land, fluffy. So one of my pieces was a landscape with a sky and a beach and a bit of green. Then I had a piece of paper with an ink splodge on it that had been blown with a straw to make it sort of tree looking. So I ironed it on, and again it was pink, because there's pink trees in Louise La La Land. Well, when I got home, I hung it up on my pinboard, and this one was beside a picture that LP Star had sent me from her travels. And it's of a tree in a desert, and it reminds me slightly of the album cover of U2's album The Joshua Tree. So that's what this is going to be. Might be a pink tree now, but it'll soon be embellished enough to know it's supposed to be a black shadow. And next week we'll do the next stage of the study. We didn't actually agree what it was, but hey, that's textiles. The craft group was very good. Rachel was wearing her Alice Starmore's Nakraga knitted in her own hand spun, which was impressive with a capital I. Caroline was spinning, and she has taken out her herring wheel. And no, it's not a wheel shaped like a fish. These are named after the man, Frank Herring, who made them. It's so she can fit it into the car easily, but she's not actually keen on the style of it, so we've suggested selling it and get the one that she does like the look of. She has finished knitting a hat from her friend, whom she got the fleece from, and it was a dark brown, almost black, and very, very soft. She also brought some homemade chocolate muffins, so thank you, Caroline. And Audrey was there with her jumper that she's knitting for her son, and this was in a Serda Crofter yarn. We have decided that the next craft night, which I'm hoping to have on Tuesday coming, is a making lip balm night a la I Make podcast. I fancied making some, but not all for me. So Rachel was sent off on the mission of pricing, buying it, and I'll let you know how we get on. So thank you to Martine from I Make Podcast for giving us that and many more ideas. And Rachel for getting the stuff. I was out spinning on Sunday, but there was only a few of us there. Anne had made a special cake for two members who had special birthdays with O's at the end. Our Caroline's had, and she kept hers very quiet. Happy birthdays with O's at the end to Caroline and Rose. The cake was divine, had 5 eggs in it and fresh cream. I could just feel the calories going on. And I was still spinning up the pink fibre from New Lanark Mill that, you know what, it's rubbish. I carded it into Rolex and short drew it rather than long drawing it, because I'm not very good at the long drawing yet. But it was thick and thin and thick and thin, put your left leg in, put your right leg in, do the hokey cokey. Aye. Caroline kind of laughed and said, well, it's interesting. And I wailed, what am I going to do? I've got 4 lots of this. And she said, why don't you make the oven gloves that you want? So I thought, I'm not going to bother spinning the rest of this short rubbish fibre. I'm going to wet felt a long rectangle and fold in the over the ends. And then I'll use the yarn that I've already spun as a sewing up thread and put a blanket stitch round. So I'll have my much needed oven gloves. Ta-da. And if I have any of the roving left over, I'm going to make a tea cosy for the teapot that I don't have anymore because it broke. And then broke. And then broke. I glued it in between the breaking, but now it was beyond help. I got a bit behind with all my knitting and crocheting. I was doing too many projects at once. I then decided to do one at a time and in order. So I finished my lacy curly scarf in Kid Silk Haze, which is lovely. It's nice and warm and soft. I like crocheting with this. I'm not so sure how knitting will be. I have read plenty of horror stories. I then finished the mother wear. So I'm now going to go on to Hubby's hat, which I've made yet another mistake in. And then I'm going to go on to my possum fingerless gloves and then my cardigan. I have a hankering to cast on some more projects, but I'm not going to. Puss gardening has started. The grass got its first cut today and the polytunnel, the seeds have pretty much all germinated, except for the sunflowers, which the mice ate. I blamed poor little Daisy for this, but I was corrected that it was mice. Get your own seeds, Jerry. That's me. Right, thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt or Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt or CaithnessCraftCollective@gmail.com or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes or on www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. I am on Twitter as CaithnessCraft. I am on Knitty as CaithnessCraft. All the links are in the show notes, so go there and click anything you want more info on. And this week the music is, again, Caledonia by Caledon X from Music Alley playing us out. Cheers for listening and keep on crafting.